All right, so we're diving deep today into a real legal head-scratcher, a case called United States versus Castle and Lowry. And it really gets you thinking about the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, the FCPA, and how it bumps up against the whole idea of conspiracy, that general conspiracy law.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you'd think, right, if there's a bribe floating around connected to some American company, somebody's going down under US law, right? But this case throws a real curveball and forces us to ask, can you actually get nailed for conspiring to break a law that doesn't even say what you did was wrong in the first place?
It's a good question. So let's just, level set here. The FCPA, as I'm sure many folks know, goes after American companies, individuals who offer or, pay bribes to foreign government officials, right? The law is really laser focused on the person who's paying the bribe. But here's the thing, and this is key for our conversation today. The FCPA, at least as it was originally written, didn't actually say it was illegal under that specific law for the foreign official to be the one taking the bribe.
And that's where these guys, Donald Castle and Darrell Lowry, come in. They were Canadian government officials, and they accepted a $50,000 payment. And this wasn't some, under the table deal. It was directly tied to a bid by an American company, Eagle Bus Company, trying to get a government contract up in Saskatchewan. So the American employees at Eagle Bus, the ones who greenlit and made that payment, oh, they were definitely in the FCPA's crosshairs.
But Castle and Lowry, the Canadian officials on the other side of that money, well, they couldn't be charged directly under the FCPA just for taking the money. So here's where things get interesting. Prosecutors decided to go after Castle and Lowry using that general conspiracy law. They argued that these Canadian officials basically teamed up with the American bribe payers to break the FCPA. So hold on a second. Can the government actually do that? Can you really be part of some illegal agreement to violate a law when the law doesn't even say you're the one doing the main thing wrong?
That's the million-dollar question, right? And Castle and Lowry's lawyers basically said, wait a minute. Congress chose very specifically not to make it a crime for foreign officials to take bribes under the FCPA. You can't just use this conspiracy law to rope them into a law that was meant for a whole different group of people. And this really highlights how important it is to understand what Congress was actually trying to do when they made the FCPA.
No doubt. So this case bounced around the courts and finally landed in front of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. And their reasoning is fascinating. They had to really dig into both the FCPA and the general conspiracy law, and they looked back at some huge Supreme Court cases to guide them.
One case that really stood out was Gabbardi versus United States way back in 1932. And now this case wasn't about bribery or the FCPA at all. It was about the Mann Act, which made it a federal crime to transport women across state lines for, immoral purposes. But the key point of the Mann Act was that it was supposed to protect women from being forced into prostitution or stuff like that. It wasn't about criminalizing the actions of the woman being transported.
Okay, I think I see where you're going with this. So
No.
in Gabbardi, the government tried to say that the woman who was transported could be charged with conspiring with the person who transported her to violate the Mann Act.
Exactly. But the Supreme Court shut that down. They said, listen, Congress specifically chose not to hold the woman responsible under the Mann Act. In fact, the whole purpose of the law was to keep her safe. So it would totally go against what Congress wanted to then prosecute her for conspiring to break that same law. It's like the law is giving her some protection, and then the conspiracy charge tries to take away that protection for the very thing the main law allows.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like saying, hey, you're off the hook for this specific thing, but oh, we're going to get you for agreeing to that same thing using a different legal trick. So the Fifth Circuit in Castle and Lowry, they saw a connection here.
Absolutely. They said, look, when Congress passed the FCPA, they were targeting the folks offering and paying the bribes, mostly American businesses, to stop corrupt practices overseas. They made a choice not to directly punish the foreign officials taking the bribes under this specific law. And what's really cool here is how deeply the court looked at that whole idea of legislative intent. They looked at the history of the FCPA, why it was created, who Congress was trying to regulate, and they concluded that going after the foreign officials for conspiring to violate the FCPA would basically be ignoring what Congress intentionally did. And this raises a really important question about how far that general conspiracy law can reach when a more specific law has clear boundaries.
So in the end, the Fifth Circuit sided with Castle and Lowry. They upheld the lower court's decision to toss out the conspiracy charges against them. So for those listening, the big takeaway is that the court really emphasized that the scope and purpose of a specific law like the FCPA can actually limit how far those broader conspiracy laws can go in prosecuting related conduct.
That's it. You know, it really underlines this principle that courts have to respect the choices Congress made, what they actually make illegal and who they hold accountable under a specific law in the case of the FCPA. They were all about the bribe payers trying to use that conspiracy law to prosecute the bribe takers in a way that the FCPA never intended was seen as overstepping their bounds.
As that tie back to the Gabbardi case is the light bulb moment. Congress made a very deliberate decision about who the law applied to, just like the Mann Act was meant to protect the woman being transported. The FCPA in its original form was about regulating what American companies did when it came to bribing foreign officials.
And this brings up a super important point, especially for those of you in law school. This case is a masterclass in statutory interpretation. It shows why you can't just take a law at face value or look at a general law like the conspiracy law all by itself. You have to go deeper. Think about the bigger picture, why the law exists, what its history is, and who it's meant to apply to conspiracy charges are a powerful tool, but they're not a catch-all solution when a specific law has clearly laid out its limits.
So, zooming out, what does this all mean? Well, it's a reminder that we've got checks and balances in our legal system. Courts aren't just going to let prosecutors use these broad general laws to get around the specific choices Congress made when they wrote more targeted laws.
Exactly. And it brings us to a final thought. If the goal is to really tackle international corruption and the FCPA's reach to foreign officials who take bribes has been limited, well, what other legal tactics or even diplomatic tools might work better or be more appropriate in dealing with that side of corruption, it really makes you think about how complex it is to deal with illegal activities that cross borders. You know, it's not always so straightforward.
Absolutely. Well, on that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive into United States versus Castle and Lowry. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.